Continuing coverage of the withdrawal from Afghanistan, President Biden addressed the nation this afternoon to officially end the Afghanistan war and defend the way that he ended it.
And for anyone who gets the wrong idea, let me say clearly, to those who wish America harm, to those who engage in terrorism against us or our allies, know this, the United States will never rest. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We'll hunt you down to the ends of the earth, and you will pay the ultimate price.
Joining us live tonight, former Army Ranger Tom Amenta, co-author of the upcoming book, The 20-Year War. That will be out on September 11th. Good to hear from you tonight, Tom. I've heard you say that at every turn, this administration has said one thing and then done another. Could you give me an example or two of that and explain why you find it frustrating as an American, as a service member who forged relationships in Afghanistan?
Well, Dimitri, to start off, he just called this operation an extraordinary success, and 13 American service members lost their lives. Now, I don't know what junior speechwriter wrote that one trying to get in good with them, and it got by the chief of staff, but how can you possibly consider that an extraordinary success just on the face of it?
What about the 120,000 people that got out? I mean, it is considered quite an accomplishment, this airlift. Very hectic, very confusing, and leaving people behind, and yet people got out.
Well, yes, and you know, I agree, but I think that that is way more on the military. My problem with that is that The administration has said that there were 4,500 Americans that got out. In the speech today, President Biden said roughly 10% of the Americans, which I'm doing the math in the back of my head, is 540, did not get out. We, as a nation, say no man, woman, or child left behind. And we left them behind. That's it. The primary mission was to secure the safety and freedom of American citizens, and then also for our allies, many of whom, it's also acknowledged by this administration, were left behind because their paperwork wasn't processed properly, or they couldn't get through Taliban checkpoints because the administration trusted the safety and security of our citizens and the people that mattered the most to us to a terrorist organization.
What would you say about the quality of the military's work? I think you touched on this ever so briefly. It was quite extraordinary.
The military was those men and women moved mountains, sir. I enlisted before 9/11. Those men and women post did that. So they're already willing to answer the nation's call knowing they could go to a war zone. But they went to a place where they were not trained, where they were trying to have to tell people quite literally if they might live or die by if they could get past their gate or not. In the New York Post, then also on Coffee or Die magazine, Jericho Denman, who I had the privilege to serve with in Bravo Company, 2nd Ranger Battalion, described the conditions for them living in as the worst he's ever seen as a 15 combat tour veteran. I can't imagine how awful it must have been for him to make that statement. And yet they persevered, they fought on to the objective, and they completed the mission. I have nothing but the highest and utmost love, respect, and admiration for the troops and the job that they did over there.
Tom, I think you have mind-reading abilities because I happen to have a soundbite right here from Jericho Denman, former Army Ranger. He flew to Kabul to help these past 2 weeks. Let's hear what he told the PBS NewsHour.
I had one guy with his family, and I said, hey, what are you wearing? I'm wearing this, this, and this. Okay, you're wearing a baseball hat. Put the baseball hat on a broomstick and put it over your head and wave it around so I can see you. I didn't end up finding him, but those were the things that we did. I found the family of an SMW pilot, and I said, hey, get a piece of cardboard and write Bigfoot on it and hold it up. And that's the only way I found them, is because they were holding up a sign that said Bigfoot.
So just a little glimpse into the chaos at the Kabul airport in recent days. It didn't have to happen this way. Could they have started months earlier? What would have been your solution?
You know, to start with, I would have definitely started sooner, and I definitely would have removed the unnecessary roadblocks to SIV paperwork. One of the things that I'm not sure that if the average American has understood, that a lot of these people that were applying for this were vouched for by American service members and by State Department officials and by government aid workers and, you know, Department of Agriculture people who were there trying to help the Afghans and their economy and all of that. These weren't random people for the most part. And so, yes, they absolutely should have walked all of Stephen Miller's issues with the SIV visa back from the previous administration. That should have been done quickly. They should have done it sooner. And also, they should not have reduced and taken away the strategic capability that Bagram Airfield provided. That was the closest thing to home turf that America has had in that country, and we left it in the middle of the night without even coordinating with our Afghan allies for its handover. That's just a huge, huge tactical blunder.
We're just scratching the surface here, Tom. I hope to have you on again soon. Our time is up for this round, though. Really appreciate you speaking with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Tom Amenta, former Army Ranger. His upcoming book, he's the co-author of the upcoming book, The 20-Year War, which will be out on September 11th.